So I want you to pray for us and with us as we share with you what the Word of God says. Last Sunday we talked about long-suffering, so we're going to kind of continue on that phase. But today we're going to talk more about forbearing. One of the things that we talked about is long-suffering really is expressed in relationships. Because I think we all came, at least last Sunday we did. I don't know if you had a change of heart this Sunday, but there's a little something wrong with all of us. We said that, right?
Yeah.
You take the sweetest little old lady, saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. There's going to be something about her. You put her with somebody else, she may be too sweet. That may be the problem. That there's going to be something that, well, Sister So-and-so, always just let them do it. No, we need to stand up. So there's going to be something that we have when we come against, there's something about our personalities and something about us that we're going to need the Lord to help us with. Okay? Are we all on that? Because that's the premise. That's the foundation of what we're talking about here in this lesson today. We're going to turn, first of all, and just kind of reiterate what we did, what we talked about a little bit about last Sunday. Galatians, the fifth chapter, it says, and 22nd verse says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. And it goes on. But one of the things that I want us to understand is love is a great part of it. So, and then I want us to turn now. I want to just establish that. And then I want us to turn first, next to pray for us that we'll be able to share it like we need to. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and start at the first verse. Let's start there.
Ephesians 4:1.
Yes.
I therefore.
Okay. Keeping in mind about the long suffering that we talked about as part of the fruit of the Spirit. Now, Paul is talking here. I therefore.
The prisoner of the Lord.
I am the prisoner of the Lord. The reason I am in jail is because I love the Lord and I serve him. So there are going to be some times in our experiences that the reason that we're being persecuted is not because of something that we did in particular, but it's going to be because of something that the fact that we're standing firm for the Lord. So this is what Paul's situation is. He says here, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness, with meekness, long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Now, there's a few words that I think are very important here. One of the words that he says here, long suffering. Okay, so that's a word that's difficult for us. It's not difficult for us to understand what it means. It's difficult for us to do it. There's going to be some times that we're going to have to be long-suffering with other people, that we're going to have to put up with them. The other one is forbearing, right? So we have to forbear. What forbear means is that I am putting up with somebody. Am I correct in that? I'm having to be patient. I'm having to be kind, even in the midst of something that maybe kind of gets under my skin. Now, we're going to try to preach where we are today, where we are, but where the Lord doesn't want us to stay. Because this is what he's talking about. And then the other word is endeavoring. I know with the old the way they spelled it in the old time is with a U, but we're spelling it, I think, in the correct way is this. Am I correct in that?
Yeah,
okay. Old English. Okay. Forbearing. Okay. So these are words. Okay. These words mean that we are putting forth a great effort to do something, right? In essence. And so here, these are the words that I want us to concentrate on as we go through this lesson here today. So it says here, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Now help me out. What is vocation? What does that mean?
A profession.
A profession.
A job.
A job. Okay, so a vocation. He said, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. So there are some things in it that the Lord is saying here. That I want you to walk worthy of. There is you are called to be a saint of God, and there are some responsibilities that you have, and there are some ways that you're supposed to act.
Yeah.
I've heard about there are certain things that you can't do if you're in uniform at a you can't go drinking in some companies and whatnot. One of my favorite stores is Home Depot. Right, doing this project has caused me to have to go there quite a bit. Right. And so, you know, there is an identifying thing about the people at Home Depot. What is it?
Apron.
They have an orange apron on. They can be dressed any other kind of way, in essence, but they have an orange apron on, and I can walk up to that person that has an orange apron, and they're identified as an employee there, right? So in the same way, there are things that we have that we put on as men and women and saints of God, that we're called to be saints. There are things that we put on that are identifying marks.
Yes.
The way that we present ourselves, the way that we talk to people, the way that we handle people in transactions. And there's an honesty about us, isn't it?
Yes.
And if there's not, then there's something wrong with us. And we need to understand that there is something wrong with us. Have you ever walked into a place and saw somebody going, maybe going through, I've done this before. They didn't have their apron on. And I said, do you work here? All right. And sometimes I work here and but I'm on my break or whatever. And then sometimes, no, I'm sorry, I don't work here. People walked up to me and asked me, do I work here? Because it seemed like sometimes I think I'm in here so much. When is payday? I'd like to come back. I'm here as much as they are sometimes, it seems like. But anyway, there are the vocation that we have as called to be saints. It is a calling that God gives us. That he's many are called, but few are chosen, right? The Lord calls every person that's in the world. He calls us and he wants us to come to him. And this is a calling of the saints. So he says here, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness, meekness, long-suffering. Okay, so here's some other identifying marks. Lowliness. There is a humility that we have as saints of God. We have to be humble, right? With all lowliness and meekness, right? These are words that are action words that we have as saints of God. What we have to do is we have to make sure that we're doing that, or else we're not walking worthy of the vocation we were called. If you're doing something on your job that is not according to the culture and of the expectations of that job, they're going to call you into the office and they're going to set you down and they say, listen, you're going off on some... you're going off on the customers. You can't do that. The customer is always right. That's our, what do they call it? That's our motto, but it's something that's part of the culture of that place. You know, you go to some other places. You go to Chick-fil-A and then you say, well, thank you. And they, what are they going to say?
My pleasure.
My pleasure. It's part of their culture, right? Because there's something, is it really their pleasure, or am I just getting a paycheck? Well, there is something about the culture of that place that makes those people believe that it is my pleasure to do service for you. And they give a good service because they're one of the very few fast food places that has a line. Cars that are stacked up and they're having to have all kinds. Why? Because there's something about the culture of that place. Are their chicken sandwiches really that good? They're decent, but they're really not that good, in my opinion. All right, but it's something about the service. It's something about the culture of the place. Do you realize that when people walk into this way, and this is important for us to get a hold of, because as we are, in order to sustain us, as we reach out to the community, when they walk in and they feel the culture of what this, who we are, that we have to make them feel like we love them.
Absolutely.
Whatever their problems are, whatever their issues are, whatever they're going through, this is a place, this is the hospital that they come to get healed. And if we're having problems and we are beating them over the head with something from the pulpit or something, wherever it is, we're beating them over the head and lining them up and making certain that they do what we think that they're not going to feel comfortable with the culture of this place, right? Now, that doesn't mean that we just let anything go, right? But there is a culture of love.
Yes.
There's a culture of forbearance.
Yes.
There's a culture of putting up with the people. And when they walk in, we have a genuine, when they walk up in here, what happens is that they should know that those people love us. When I was in Dallas, there's one thing that I told the congregation, and I would see this happen. You know, as a pastor, you kind of stand back and you kind of watch what's going on in the congregation. It's part of the responsibility of the pastor to put his fingers on the pulse of the congregation and see where it's healthy and where we need to make changes and all those kind of things, and then have the optimal time to present it to the congregation. Not every time can you present it when you see it. Sometimes you gotta consider and you gotta pray about it and you gotta say, Lord, how do I do this? But one of the things that I said to the congregation, I say it to us here, when we have a visitor, every person in this congregation should go to that visitor and let them know how much we appreciate them being there.
Sure.
Every person. We don't need to get in our little huddles over here. and talk to the person that you saw last Wednesday or last week, and the visitor is over standing in a corner kind of wondering what to do. You should be there.
Yes.
And do you know why you should be there? Because I would say the people should not ever say that I don't want to go back to the church because no one cared that I was even there. But they should come and say, I don't want to go back to that church because everybody spoke to me. And everybody seemed like they love me, and I just can't stand that. And if they say that, that's on them, but it's not on us. That's the culture. That's the culture that we're establishing, a culture of love. All right, so I'm going to read out of the Amplified version. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, appeal and beg you to walk, lead a life worthy of the divine calling to which you have been called, with behavior that is a credit to the summons of God's service. Behavior that is a credit to the summon of God's service. Now, have you ever seen somebody that is supposed to be a Christian and is not acting like a Christian? We've all seen that, haven't we? Well, I thought they were supposed to be saved. Well, in that context, in that situation, they're not presenting a life that exemplary or that is the behavior that is a credit to the summons of being called a son or daughter of God. All right. Living as becomes you with complete lowliness of mind, humility. Now, that's one of the attributes that the Lord expects of us. Yeah. Humility and meekness, unselfish gentleness,
yeah.
Mildness. Well, that's just not my personality. Okay, there are some people are much more mild than other people. Some people have a disposition about them that's much more settled down and whatnot. And it's nothing wrong with that. And it's nothing wrong with a person that is a little bit more assertive, a little bit more aggressive. We all have different personalities, right? But the Lord wants to, there are the people that have a more assertive way about them. There is something about that the Lord wants to come to them and let them know, listen, you need to calm down. Have you ever said that to somebody? I need you to calm down. I need you to not be so all in somebody's faith. The Lord wants to tell us that. And there are some times that the Lord wants us to understand that it's not all about us.
Yes.
Even though we often think that it is. All right? Lord, help us.
Amen.
All right. So with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another, how do we do it? In love. All right? So none of this works if we don't love each other. Right? So, forbearing one another in love. So, I'm going to put up with whatever issues you have in your personality, whatever issues that you're dealing with, I'm willing to put up with it because chances are, if I'm putting up with something about you, you're putting up with something about me.
Yeah.
Now, the best example that I've ever known of this is in the family relationship.
Yeah.
All right, husband and wife. We have to put up with it with different things. If you draw, if one is very neat and the other one is not very neat, they're going to have to deal with that, right? In a situation with brothers and sisters, I had five brothers and five sisters, and do you suppose all of us got along just perfectly? That there was nothing that we ever disagreed with or had really strong feelings about with the other? No, but let me tell you what happens at home. What happens at home, we get into an argument or get into a... Y'all didn't do that, did y'all? Y'all didn't get into arguments or fights, did you? All right. with discussions, strong discussions. When you get into strong discussions like that, there was something about it that we had to learn how to get along with each other. That's what Mama would tell us. Just learn how to get along with each other. Because what's happening, you're learning the foundation of getting along with your brother and sister. It's the foundation of you getting along with the people on the workforce.
That's right.
Getting along with your wife and your children and all this. The scripture tells how a wife is supposed to act with the husband, how the husband is supposed to act with the wife, how the husband is supposed to act with the children. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. So there's a certain way, even though you're the man and you're the head of the household, there's a certain way that you handle your children.
That's right.
The Lord tells us that. You forbear with them. Oh, my little knucklehead, he's over there and he's always doing such and such. Well, you're going to have to grab him by the collar sometime, set him down and talk to him. And then after you get through talking to him, give him a hug. Let him know how much you love him.
Yes.
How much you're putting up with him and all these kinds of things. The Lord knows how to tell us how to do it, and he knows how to give us the understanding that we're going to have to forbear with one another in love. I'm going to have to put up with you. You're going to have to put up with me. We've got each other. I say this sometimes to people that are maybe having struggles in a marital relationship. Marital relationships can be very difficult because you're in same close proximity 24/7 generally, right? And this is the most intimate relationship on the face of the earth, right? And I say to somebody, said, I don't know why she putting up with him. I'd have kicked him to the curb a long time ago, or and vice versa. You know, in the latter years, it used to be the men were always messing up. Now the women are. They really are. A lot of women are messing up. I've seen that. I kind of saw a change in my ministry at the beginning. I was dealing with mostly men, and then I started dealing with women that were acting up and not doing right and whatnot. But here's what I want to say to you. Do you know why that person puts up with that man or that woman for as long as they do, and you would have walked away a long time? It's because they love them.
Yes.
And what does the scripture says? Love covers a multitude. Charity covers a multitude of sin. Let's go there. Above all, this says there in 1 Peter 4 and 8. Let's read that. 1 Peter 4 and 8. You got it. Read it for us. 1 Peter. Yeah, 4 and 8, yes. It says here,
above all things, have fervent charity.
Above all things, this is the most important thing. What does it say?
Have fervent charity.
Burning fervent charity among yourselves. This is about me. I need to have it for you, and you need to have it for me, right? Have fervent charity among yourselves. Why?
For charity shall cover
a multitude of sins. You're going to put up with a whole lot. There are going to be a whole lot of faults. And there's not a person here that does not have a fault. There's something about you. Something about you. We talked about this last Sunday. Something about you that you don't like and you wish you could change about yourself, right? And so therefore, since you're putting up with yourself and you're being long-suffering with you and you're forbearing with you, then somebody else is doing the same with you as well. And so how dare you not be forbearing and long-suffering with someone else? Why? Because if you love yourself, you got to love yourself, we say, right? That's kind of the thing that's going on nowadays. You got to love yourself. And the more you love yourself, the more you put up with your shortcomings, right? And the more you love somebody else, the more you put up with their shortcomings. And so if you can't stand to put up with somebody else, let me tell you what your problem is. Your problem is that you do not have enough love.
Amen.
All right?
Yeah.
You do not have enough love for the Lord. Oh, Brother Darrell, you can't get into my relationship with the Lord. No, you don't. Because he said, you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. How much love did the Lord have for you? The sister was talking about it, testifying how the Lord did it and how he forbore with her. He forbore with me as well, right? He was long-suffering with me as well. How dare I not do it to my brother? Is it hard? Yes, it's hard. But Jesus got up on the cross and he loved us so much that he stretched out his hand and he bled and died for you.
Amen.
Not because of him, something he did, but because of something that you did. What did God do? For God so loved the world that what did he do? He gave his only begotten son. But let me tell you, what Jesus, when you're talking about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, they're all one. So God didn't just give his son. He gave himself to you to make certain that you didn't have to live, didn't have to die lost and spend an eternity away from him. He did that. Why? Because he loved you.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
And we've got to understand that. We've got to understand that. Now that the Lord did it for me, I'm going to grab you by the throat, brother. And I'm going to say, I'm tired of you doing this to me. I've had it with you. I'm not going to take it anymore. That's what we're supposed to do, right? Well, at some point, Brother Darrell, you just come to the end of it and you just want to have it all done. Well, you better make certain that when you come to the end of it, it's where the Lord's end of it and not yours.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there are some times that the scripture speaks about in the John, in the first John, I believe, where it talks about that love must be perfected, mm-hmm. right? A perfect love. And then the Lord perfects our love. And how does he perfect our love? Oftentimes he perfects our love by taking us through very stringent and hard things.
Yes.
Lord, help us.
Yeah.
Now my love needs to be perfected. And when we see it that it's imperfect and imperfect fruit, part of the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love? love and it's imperfect and it's gnarly and it's green and nobody wants it. You don't even want it. Would you want to love? Would you want somebody to love you the way you love them? Lord help us, yeah.
That's right.
But what if all everything was, this is why we're saying, forbear one another in love.
Yes.
I'm going to have to put up with you. No matter what your issues are, you got me. You're going to have to put up with me. You're going to have to deal with me. Yeah, you pray for me and you pray for yourself as well. All of us do, right?
Yes.
We have to pray for ourselves. Lord, help me. Let me tell you, I'll full disclosure here. When there is something that somebody, and it happens all the time, if you're married for 40 years, trust me, your wife is going to tell you something about yourself that is not good. All right. You always are doing such and such. No, you need to stop that. You need to, and they'll tell you, they'll tell you straight, right? And I think my wife can attest to this. Anytime she tells me something, I say 8 to 9 times out of 10, I don't justify it. I just listen to it. I say 8 times out of 10. Sometimes I do justify it. I see it from a different perspective. But there's never a time that I don't try to do better. That I don't try to because I say it like this from the standpoint of a pastor. You're standing up here telling people how to live on a daily basis. And what we really get into, the nitty gritty of these things, endeavoring and forbearing and long suffering. These are hard things to do. And if you can't be the example of them, you have no right to preach about them. That's my philosophy. If I'm up here, and the scripture says very plainly that the husbandman that labored must be first partaker of the fruit. So in other words, if I can't partake of it, and I can't endeavor to keep the unity of the spirit and the bond of peace, I can't do all that it is. Do we get angry? Of course we get angry from time to time. But the scripture says, be angry and do what? Don't go beyond that line. There's a line there that when you go beyond that line, you're doing wrong. You're sinning. And so you can express your anger. You can express something. But at some point, you got to just forgive the person. If they don't make a change, you have to forgive them. You have to forgive. That's another one of those hard words. Forgiveness. You just forgiving somebody, you forgive them. That is not all these things. Forgiveness. All these things are difficult things that we have to do. This is part of our job. There are some jobs that I don't want. And the older I get, the more difficult. I was out moving some big, heavy plywood the other day, and I thought, boy, you're not as strong as you used to be. You know, I remember I could just pick that up and yank it, and then I'm huffing and puffing, and I'm old. I've gotten old. Let's just accept it. I can't do what I used to do. Have a greater appreciation for my father who wanted to do stuff, and he's 90-something years old, and we're saying, Daddy, you're not going to do that. I have a new appreciation. Your mind is still young, but your body isn't. All right, so here's the deal. All of these things that we're talking about, this is part of our vocation. We have to forgive. Why? Because God forgave us.
Yeah.
All right, we have to endeavor because the Lord put up with us. We have to do all of these things because God has done it for us, and other people are doing it to us. They're long suffering and forgiving and forbearing and forgiving us our shortcomings. God forbid that I don't do it to you.
Yes.
Y'all understand?
Amen.
All right. Let's go a little further here. Let's go to Colossians, the 3rd chapter, 12th verse. It says, put on therefore, 3rd chapter, 12th verse, Colossians, put on therefore as the elect of God. What does it say? Holy and beloved, bowels of mercy. Mercy. You know what mercy is in one sense? If somebody has done something, you know, you plead the mercy of the court, you're guilty, and they just forgive you anyway. It's just saying, you know, we're not going to charge that against you. And you know, the Lord does that, and we have to do that. We have to do that with ourselves and with others. It says, put on, and this is part of our job description, if we walk worthy of the vocation and wherein we are called, it says, put on holy and beloved bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. That's part of our job. It's part of the job of a saint is to put on these things.
Amen.
So that people can see who we are and what we are and what we stand for.
Yes.
People can understand the culture of Christianity.
Yes.
People can understand that. Lord, help us. All right? Forbearing one another. What is this?
And forgiving one
another. All right. Forbearing and forgiving. If any man have a quarrel against, why did he have to put this in? And for, we're talking to saints here. We're talking to people of God. This is what the scripture is talking about. It says, read it again. Let's start. Put on the start it over.
As the elect of yes. God, holy and beloved.
Bowels of mercy,
kindness,
humbleness of mind,
meekness,
long-suffering. These are things that we've already done. This is hard work. All right? Hard work, all right?
Forbearing
one another and forgiving one another.
If any man have a quarrel
against any,
even as Christ forgave you.
Oh, my Lord. Even as Christ forgave you,
so also do you.
That's our job. Forbearing one another in love, forgiving one another, putting up with one another, meekness, humility. If you don't have meekness, you don't have love, you don't have humility, you can't forgive like you're supposed to. You can't put up, you can't forbear. That's all part of it. That's all part of the fruit of the Spirit. Meekness, right?
Yes.
Gentleness. All part of the fruit of the Spirit. All of these things. And so in one sense, it's not each one has a fruit. It's one fruit. And all of this is encapsulated in one fruit. If you take an apple, there are a lot of things about an apple, right? I don't know if this is a true statement, but somebody said there's something about the seed of an apple that has arsenic in it to keep the birds from eating it, right? We don't eat the seeds of apples. But there are a lot of things. There is this the core that's to it. There is the outer edge. There's the stem that goes there. There are the seeds that are there. There is the skin. And then there is the part in the middle. It's just one apple, but it's not several different fruits. It's one. And so in the same way, we've got all this wrapped in love, and it's a meekness and gentleness and kindness and mildness and forgiveness and all of this wrapped in the fruit of the Spirit. When we understand that, then we say, Lord, I need more love. My fruit is gnarled and is green, and I don't have the kind of love I need because so-and-so is getting on my last nerve. Have we ever said that kind of stuff? They're getting on my last nerve. Then go somewhere and pray.
Yeah.
Because chances are, if y'all had communication with each other, guess who's getting on their last nerve? You are. All right? It's true. Rare broom that sweeps one way, right? So you have to say to people, if you're angry at me, chances are I am. Oh well, he doesn't seem like he's angry. He doesn't seem like he's upset at what I said. He seemed like he's just absorbing all of it and he's taking it all in all. That brother has some forbearance and he has some long suffering and he has some love and he has some meekness and some humility and all of that, and it's just absorbing. And what is he doing? When it absorbs into him, he just gives it to the Lord.
Yes.
That's what's happening. It's not that you Mr. or Mrs. Perfect. Lord help us. All right. Read a little bit more. Let's go down. Let's go to, let's start, go up to the eighth verse of that Colossians.
Now
yeah.
Also
but now,
put off all these.
There's something, now this is what it's talking about. In order for us to be successful in the things that the Lord wants us to do, we've got to undo some things. We've got to take some things off. So put these things off.
Anger.
Wrath.
Malice,
blasphemy,
filthy
communication out of your mouth. And that, isn't that what we're supposed to do as saints?
Yes.
Lie not one to another. Why? You know, I've come to the conclusion that all them saints back in them days wasn't real good saints. You understand what I'm saying? Oh, he having to give this kind of instruction to us? I thought that just comes automatically. No, they had to be taught. The reason we know it is we were taught. Don't lie one to another. A child that's innocent, a child that has... that don't even know hadn't come to the age of accountability. Innocent. If they die, they go to heaven. But let me tell you, did you get that cookie? Mm-mm. What's that on your mouth? Crumbs all over their mouth. Got it behind their head, behind their back, and they just saying, I didn't do that. But he's still innocent, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's still going to go to heaven because he doesn't understand. But we say, what's this? Show me what you got. Show me what you got. They do that. We did it. And if we're not careful, we'll do it to the Lord and we'll do it to our fellow man. So this is why that scripture tells us. So we have to tell them, you don't tell daddy or mommy a lie.
Yes.
You don't do that. That's called lying, and that's not good. And we teach them that, and then once they have that understanding, they can't do that anymore, right? All right, let's go a little further. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge. What are we doing? After the image that of him that created him, we're supposed to be walk worthy of the vocation with we're called. We're called to be saints. We're called to be the Christians, Christ-like. That's what we're called to be. In the image of him that created him, yes?
Where there is neither Jew,
nor Greek, nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision.
Barbarian,
bond, or free. Yes. But Christ is all and in all. Continue.
Put on therefore.
Now take those things off. Put these things on. Put on therefore as elect of God. Holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindnesses, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If we just read it, but I want to read it again. If any man have quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, somebody forgave you, your job, part of your job description, part of your vocation is to forgive everybody else that's ever wronged you.
Amen. Oh, yes.
Every person, oh, they did this to me. Oh, I don't have anything to do with them anymore. We've not been talking for 25 years. That's your brother? You haven't talked to him for 25 years? Oh, I've gotten upset at my brother. I've told you all the stories. We were country folks. Country. I mean, real country. If you hit me, I was going to hit you back. I was going to get a whipping. But you did not hit me and thought you were going to get away with it. So you hit me with the understanding that we finna fight. Okay? It happened in the city. Well, we did that. We did that. And then we tussling, especially me and my brother right above me. We would be on the floor. I know this is pitiful. I shouldn't be telling y'all this kind of stuff. But it's true. But let me tell you, don't let somebody outside of our family fight us, because we'd stop fighting right there and we both would turn against them. Yeah. Right? We could fight each other, but nobody else could fight us. Right? Well, but we got to a certain age that we didn't do it anymore, because we came to there's a better way to solve your problems. There's nobody in my family that I haven't talked to for years and years and months and months. We love each other. And love covers a multitude of their faults and their shortcomings and the things. I'm going to love you. And in the church, it must be the same way. No matter what you do, no matter what I said, no matter if you were offended at me, then come to me and talk to me about it. Come to me and say, listen, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but that offended me. I've had people to come to me and say what I said in the pulpit offended them. I was never intended to offend them. You know, if somebody comes in and they start pointing fingers and there's something wrong with you and I measure you up, there's something wrong with that. That's not right. Now, there are going to be times that the word will hit you. It's hit me before. You just have to deal with that. But I have to say it with love. And I don't preach at people. I remember I may have told you this story before, but I'll tell it to you again. I was at some church that we decided that we were going. It wasn't Church of God. It was another church that were having a revival down the street. One of the younger ministers, this was years and years ago, one of the younger ministers just said, hey, let's go and see what that church is all about. And so we went to this church. And there was a female evangelist, and she was up there preaching. And I was sitting, it was a small church, probably not much bigger than this one. And I was sitting in there, kind of in the middle. And she started, when I got there, and she got to preaching really good, she started strutting around the pulpit and looking at me and started just going off on me, basically preaching at me, saying, you know, things about, you know, what kind of life she thought I lived and how that was wrong, and preaching at me and all this. And then at the end of the sermon, she looked me dead in the eye and said, I hit you, didn't I? Now, that's preaching at somebody. That's preaching at somebody. Now, I've never done that, but let me tell you, she didn't hit me at all. She was talking about running around and drinking and smoking and all of this kind of stuff that I guess most men my age would have done. I have done none of it. Not even one thing. So this is why it's very dangerous for you to say that you're going to preach at somebody, because you don't know what you're preaching at. Right? Lord help us. That really happened to me. All right. I'm almost done here. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have quarrel against any, even this Christ is also... Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, what do we do? Love, charity. Right? What does it say? Which is the bond. It holds us together. The bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Our responsibility. Now, if we go on into it, I won't do it for the sake of time today, but God was long-suffering to us. He's put up with us. He's putting up with us. There are things about us that God wants to change. There's things about all of us that God is working through and working on. He wants to change those things about us. Are we going to let Him? Are we going to work with Him? We're workers together with God. We're working on ourselves. We're asking God to work on us. There are some things that I cannot do by myself. And I've come to the conclusion of that. I've talked to the Lord where the Lord, you know, one of the things that we want to do, we want to have a deeper consecration to the Lord. I do. In one sense, I want you to understand me when I say this. In one sense, it's the most selfish thing that we can do is to please God. Because it's in our best interest.
Yes, it is.
It's in our personal best interest. When we get to heaven, we're going to see how much, whatever it is that it costs us to get there. You know, if I got a big mansion and this, you know, all of whatever I wanted down here, and I only paid $10 or $15 for it, that's a pretty good deal, isn't it? Well, that's about what it's going to be like, I suspect. Whatever I get in heaven, I'm going to pay $15 or $20 or maybe $100, but it's going to be far less than what it's worth. So may the Lord help us. What is the essence of what we want to talk about in this, what we want you to remember in this sermon, is be long-suffering and be forbearing with each other.
Amen.
That somebody is being long-suffering and forbearing with you. No matter how great you think you are, no matter how great I think I am, somebody is putting up with me. And I want to say to those somebodies, thank you. Thank you for putting up with me. You can rest assured that when I find out whatever is wrong with me, I'm praying about it and I'm asking the Lord to help me to overcome those things. And the Lord is helping me. I'm better than I was. Maybe I'm not where I'm going to be, but I'm better than where I was. I'm further along than what I was. And I'm not talking about sin. I'm talking about these faults that the Lord just let us get over. We said the last Sunday we were talking about it with Brother. Chandler said in a message, he said, you know what, if we just got over those things just like that, we would have no long suffering and forbearance with anybody else, because we were able to just get over those things really quick. When we see them, we just take care of them. The Lord wants us sometime to struggle and to understand the difficulty that somebody else is going through, that we can identify with those individuals. And we can say, listen, if God can do it for, if God needs to do it for them, He needs to do it for me. So I say, sometime I pray to myself, and I say, Lord, I pray to the Lord, and I say, Lord, if you'll give me the courage to make the change, because sometimes it's the courage that we need. It's not just the strength. We need the strength and we need the courage to do it. I need the courage to be able to make this adjustment and this change. And if you'll give me the courage and the strength and the ability to do it, I'll give you my will. I'll do it by the help and the grace of God. Pray for me. My desire is to be faithful to the Lord, and my desire is to forbear with my fellow man. Amen.